All right, it looks like we have all the details right now for the Cowboys and Packers trade. The Packers have now acquired Micah Parsons. He has signed a four-year, $188 million deal. He has $136 million guaranteed. We now know the compensation for the Cowboys. The Cowboys received two first-round picks. They also received defensive tackle Kenny Clark. So that is the trade. It looks like it is official. Micah Parsons has already said a goodbye letter to the Dallas Cowboys. One very, very important thing to note, this is the Sunday night football game in week four of the NFL season. I don't really know if you could script it much better than a week before the start of the season. By far and away, the biggest offseason move. Micah Parsons no longer on the Cowboys. I mean, I understand we still got a long way to go in all of this, and I understand the sack numbers have kind of changed just a little bit. I mean, Micah Parsons has a chance of being a Hall of Fame player. He has a chance of being a Hall of Fame player. We're talking about a guy who has been a double-digit sack guy every season that he has been in the National Football League. I mean, this past season, he played in 13 games and got 12 sacks. I mean, we're talking about one of the elite premier pass rushers in the league, and he just got traded today to the Green Bay Packers. Let's go back to the phone lines. I don't think we've ever had a person on the show two times in a 15-minute span. BK joins us again on the show. BK, I know we had you on here to talk about the Missouri Tigers. What do you make of this trade?
I'm shocked, Cena. I thought all along they were going to string this out. They were going to do the most Dallas Cowboys thing possible. They're part of the opening night festivities in the NFL against the Eagles, if I'm not mistaken. I thought we were going to see, like, Jerry Jones, Micah Parsons, that we'd be walking to the stadium together to sign the contract. And then they would announce it on the opening night of the NFL season, and it would be this kumbaya moment. Jerry would get his moment coming off of this documentary, which got the Cowboys back into the press. I thought that would be the way this thing would go. And I just, more often than not, I ignore all of the noise with these contract things. Terry McLaurin got re-signed. We saw something happen with the Trey Hendrickson contract. Like, that's the way this goes. That's the way it always goes, because the player has no real leverage. The team gets to use multiple franchise tags on these guys. You've got fifth-year options. Like, there's so much in favor of the team that almost never do we see this actually go down. And then this time, because Jerry Jones is involved and his feelings got hurt, it actually happened. I can't believe they only got two first-round picks. And, I mean, Kenny Clark's a fine player. Dude, he's 29. Like, he's a nose tackle. This is crazy. I cannot believe it actually happened.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here looking at it. And for two first-round picks, like, I wonder what other teams were in this. Because, I mean, we were talking about this earlier, maybe like 225 or something. I was just saying, man, I find it hard to believe that the Cowboys would trade him to a team in the NFC, like a contending team. Like, we're not talking about they traded him to the Saints, a bad team. We're talking about, like, this is the last team to beat you in a postseason game. This is the team that could win double-digit games, and now you're going to trade your best player to them. Like, it just didn't really make a lot of sense to me why the Cowboys would end up doing this. Obviously, they've done it. I was wrong. Shout out to Scoops Ricky. He has been on fire. Like, he has been literally on fire so far this summer. It just makes me wonder what other teams were in on this. Like, I wonder why New England didn't want to make this trade to just really give them that centerpiece kind of player. You got a quarterback on a rookie deal. That was the team I would have guessed that he would have got traded to. But I'm like you. I just thought it was all nonsense. I thought it was all WWE. You know how we do. You know how the Cowboys do. Mm-hmm. I thought they were going to end up on Tuesday doing exactly what you're talking about, that he wasn't going to play in week one, but they reached a deal, and then he'd be back for week two. That's how I thought this thing was going to play itself out. It obviously played itself out very differently.
That's the way it always goes with any other organization. And then Jerry Jones gets involved here. And, I mean, to be fair, like, Jerry's done it that way. He did it with Dak. He did it with Zeke. We've seen this play out. And it doesn't end up with the player traded elsewhere. But this time it did. I do think this is a fascinating trade to follow, man. I mean, you mentioned the Khalil Mack trade, and that's the one that's probably the closest comparison. But oftentimes when you see a deal like this, when you first see it go down, it feels as though the team that got the player won in a landslide. And that's the way that I would favor this one. $47 million is a lot of money, man. And it changes the way that you're able to construct your roster in future seasons. So it'll be fun to watch this thing play out. There's no way the Cowboys win it. Like, this is going to be a disaster for the Cowboys, and nobody's going to praise them after the fact. But I will be curious to see how it ends up going for the Packers. I love them this season. I loved them before this. I'm with you. I thought they were a legit Super Bowl contender, and now they even rise up the ranks in that regard. But two, three, 4 years down the road, we will see how this ends up going for them. It's a lot of money to pay a defensive player.
Right now, we're talking to BK. Our plan was to get you ready for the Missouri game, and then Micah Parsons just got traded just completely out of nowhere. I do want to get your thoughts on Missouri. This is the one time I feel just kind of removed, at least from this aspect. I don't really care who they start at quarterback. Like, we haven't really seen a whole lot of Sam Horn. It's year three. There was certainly a lot of hype and buzz, but now I wonder to myself, did he just play with Travis Hunter, and that's why we think so highly of him? The other quarterback, Bo Prabula, was very good at Penn State in a very limited role. I mean, I kind of trust their decision-making, and whoever they think is the best starter in that, I'm happy to see them pick and make a decision and move forward. But it sounds like we're at least going to have to wait a week until they play Kansas to get an answer to that question.
Oh, you think so? I think we know. I think Bo Prabula is the starter. Bo Prabula playing the entire first half feels very similar to Brady Cook playing the entire first half in 2023 when they went into that one and said, hey, this is still an open competition. Sam Horn could win it. And then we saw him come in the second half. They were up like 28-3, and he threw five passes in the second half. I think something very similar is going to take place this year, where if you're not up big by the time you get to halftime, something has gone horribly awry tonight against Central Arkansas. I anticipate Bo Prabula is going to look pretty good because he's playing Central Arkansas, and he'll get Mizzou up big. Sam Horn will come into the game. He'll barely throw the football, and we'll go into week two, and really, we'll go into Friday's show for you, knowing Bo Prabula is the starting quarterback for the Missouri Tigers, which is fine. I don't necessarily have any issues with that. I'm just kind of surprised by the way this has all played out, if that's the ultimate landing spot.
Let's talk about then what surprises you. It kind of feels like if you're not a starter by the third year, then Missouri just doesn't think you're a starting quarterback for them.
Yeah, what surprises me is the way that Drinks played this publicly. It's not I thought all along, all offseason, that Prabula was going to be the guy. I mean, they didn't go to the portal for no reason. They went out there, they paid, I mean, it's been reported, like a lot of money for Bo Prabula, and they wanted him to be the guy, it seems like. They gave Sam Horn a chance. It was a competition at one point in time, and it seems pretty clear based on now the way they're handling it that Prabula won. What I don't understand is why last week Drinkwitz comes out and says, hey, we'll have an announcement for you tomorrow. And then he says, we haven't had enough information. We're going to play them both in week one. And then he continues to trickle this thing down the road up till we get the report from Pete Thamel. Hey, it's going to be one half for Prabula, one half for Sam Horn. The messaging on it has just been a little weird. Does it ultimately matter? Not really. As long as they get the quarterback position right, everybody will be fine with it. It's just been kind of strangely handled this offseason.
How do you feel about the rest of the team? Because it's kind of funny where I think Missouri might actually be a little bit more well-rounded than they were last year. Like, I get last year. Like, they returned their quarterback. They had, we thought, was going to be a top five receiver in college football. Like, I understand why the hype was there. I think their defense might actually be better this year than last year. I think they have maybe more weapons in the passing game than they had last season. How do you feel about the rest of the roster aside from QB?
I agree with you. I think there's real questions on the offensive line. Caden Green bumping out to left tackle I find to be interesting, and I don't think we're going to get any real answers on that this week. We'll have to wait until next week when they play Kansas to learn anything meaningful about the O-line, but that I think is a fair question. I do have a legit question on, is there going to be like a legitimate go-to guy in their receiving core this year? I think they've got a lot of good options. Who's going to be the go-to guy when you really got to have it, though? Last year, that really became Theo Weiss. The year before that, obviously, it was Luther. What's it going to look like this year? But I think their defense has a chance to be, I mean, top five in the SEC, which means top 10 to 12 in the country this year. They're loaded, man. They are loaded from top to bottom. The only real question on that side of the ball is corner, and that's more, again, do you have a legitimate number one corner than it is any question about whether or not they've got enough dudes to go out there and start. So I think this team has a chance to be really good. Comes back to quarterback, left tackle. Do you have a go-to guy in the receiving game? Because I think CDOT, their running game, could get back to where it was 2 years ago as well.
That is Brandon Kiley joining us on the show today. He is with ESPN 101 in STL. This appearance, it ended up going a lot different. Whenever Rob told me that you were coming on the show today, I would have never guessed that a majority of our conversation would be about the Green Bay Packers. That's not what I was expecting.
100% agree. See, not out of curiosity, would you have traded Trent McDuffie and two first-round picks for Micah Parsons to give him that contract?
No. That's a good question, though. It's a really good question. I wouldn't have done it.
Okay. I agree. I don't think you could have made the money work with Mahomes, but that's been my question all along. All right, see, I appreciate you, brother.